Hi, everyone. I am Fernie, one of the hosts of the Walking the Narrow Path podcast. We are so grateful to have you as part of our community. If you're finding value in these conversations, I have a small favor to ask. Please hit the follow or subscribe button in your podcast app right now. It's the best way to support the show and make sure you never miss an episode. For more resources and show notes, you can also visit us at our website at walkingthenarrowpath.org. Now, let's get back to the show.
Put your boots on the ground at the break of day. There's a lot of noise trying to get in the way. We're clearing the brush and we're finding the light. Just trying to do what we know is right. It ain't always easy, it ain't always fast, but we're building something meant to last. Walking the narrow path, finding our way, together through the heat of the day.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Walking the Narrow Path with Fernie and Efrain. I just want to welcome everybody back to the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed all of our episodes and we've enjoyed making them. We've gotten some feedback now and we've got a few comments. So I want to throw a shout out to those people that made the comments and said it was making an impact in their lives. And yeah, we want to hear from everybody else. It's very comforting to know that what we're doing for the grace of God and God's glory and his works is reaching people.
Absolutely. We've said from the very beginning that if nobody else, but just one person was blessed and edified and found this helpful in their everyday journey and walk with the Lord, that we've done our job. So the fact that several people have given us very positive feedback and told us that they find these conversations relatable and that they're being blessed by them, then honestly, I'm so grateful to the Lord and all honor and glory to him.
Amen, brother. I 100% agree. So starting with that, last week we were talking about the sovereignty of God and being open to the blessings that he wants to give you and opening up your hands. But this week, I kind of want to lean a little bit more on the fact of, and we touched up on it last episode, more on the opening doors and closed doors and what that really means. And I think we all concentrate on just the open doors, but we never really focus on the closed ones and what that really means, right? And how we can get past the information or how to view those in a different light that might enlighten your life. And you might see that maybe that was God's blessing to close that door. So I want to start off by, I didn't read it. So I want to give full credit to the person that I heard it from. And like you guys, we listen to other people. We listen to our own podcast and people that we followed. And you will hear references to other people. Again, some of this material, it's a group effort amongst research and what we know and how to apply it. But that's the whole purpose, right? We're all learning together.
Absolutely.
I was listening to, and it stuck with me, I was listening to Stephen Furtick, and a lot of people are very familiar with him, but he said this. I was watching one of his YouTubes and it stuck with me like big time. I thought it was super powerful. And it basically says, the doors of tomorrow's opportunities swing on the hinges of today's obedience. And I thought that was, wow, it was very impressive. And I got to say, it really led me to think about, you know, what doors really matter, right? You know, what doors represent a lot of things, right? Direction, opportunity, and protection. And I don't think we always see that as protection, right? Because the closed doors is to protect us from something that probably we shouldn't be in. And then what really was impactful was the obedience today will shape what you do tomorrow. So let's start there. Let's see what do you think about that?
You know what? When I read that quote, it really got me thinking. So years ago, I actually brought a teaching. I gave a teaching at my church. And the teaching was basically about radical obedience. And I remember very clear, because obviously I don't have like my sermon notes or anything like that in front of me, but just off the top of my head, I remember one thing that I said when I was giving that teaching, and it was like, it was something along the lines of, radical obedience will always bring radical blessing. And I was basing that message off of the passage in scripture in the book of Genesis, where God calls Abraham. And at the time that he was called, his name wasn't Abraham, it was Abram. It wasn't until later that his name is changed to Abraham. But God calls Abram and he says, leave your parents' house and go to the land that I will show you. And we've mentioned this in some of our previous episodes. God didn't give him some GPS. God didn't give him coordinates. God didn't give or pinpoint exactly. He just needed for Abram to actually start walking. And that obedience, even though he didn't have a clear picture of what God was doing or where God was taking him or what God wanted to do, that obedience and the willingness to obey and follow God's command brought radical blessings upon his life. So much so that God enters into a covenant with him and says, through your seeds, the nations will be blessed. He says, you will have an abundance, right, of descendants, right? We all know the passage. And of course, everybody knows that I'm paraphrasing. If you're familiar with the passage, you know that I'm paraphrasing. But he says, they will be more abundant than the sands on the seashore. They will be more abundant than the stars in the sky. And whoever blesses them will be blessed, and whoever curses them will be cursed. And that is when you really start to think about what God is telling him and the power of that covenant, like how powerful that covenant is.
Yeah.
That is a radical blessing. But it all started with obedience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see, here's the thing. I don't mean to interrupt. I apologize, but...
You're starting to make it a habit, bro. Now I'm just playing.
Yeah, and it's not a good habit, and I apologize.
Oh, I'm worsting you on this. Don't worry about it.
Here's the thing. Obedience to God reflects the posture of our heart.
Amen. Yeah, I completely 100% agree. And it's funny that you said that, because I actually had that written down. That story exactly.
Obedience to God. Let me repeat that. Obedience to God reflects the posture of our heart. And here's the thing. God wants us to be willing to move when he tells us to move and in the direction that he tells us to move.
Yeah, that is the whole purpose of that story, right? And the other thing that I found very interesting, Abraham was 75 years old when that happened. It's not like he was a 23-year-old, hey, pack up and go. And he did. He packed up everything. And what I found very interesting was that he packed up based on the promise that he couldn't see. So that takes enormous amounts of faith.
Absolutely. And look, let me add something to that. Not only was it a promise that he couldn't see, but it was a promise that was not fulfilled in his lifetime.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. Yeah.
It was a promise, because God is faithful to his promises and God is faithful to his word. It was a promise that God fulfilled, but he did not see the full fulfillment of that promise. He simply had to believe that God in his time was going to make that happen.
And without asking many questions, he doesn't ask God, what are the GPS coordinates? He just started packing. He steps out, and then out of pure faith as a behavior. So we were talking about that earlier, right? It's not just a feeling, it's a behavior, it's character. That was our second episode about the character, right? It takes enormous faith to do that. He lived out and obeyed that day. You know what I mean? That's what I said earlier, right? The ability to do today without knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, or if you're even going to see it, like you said, right?
And trusting that whether you be the recipients of that blessing, of that promise, of that fulfillment, or maybe your children or your children's children, but trusting that because God is faithful and what he has promised, he will make it come to pass, then we can trust and we can believe and we can have complete certainty in the fact that it will happen.
Yeah, it was his obedience on that day when he decided to pack up and go. And the radical obedience that he displayed every day after that. Like you said, the door is not always going to be for you necessarily, but it might be for somebody else in your family. And I've gone through this a few times. And we can talk about it a little bit more in detail here in a little bit. But let me ask you, because before I go off on my story, what's an example that you had to do something that radical, right? Because this is radical obedience. And I really want to stress that radical obedience, because I think that's very important.
Man, to be honest with you, as crazy as this sounds, I think closing the church, and I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, in some of our previous episodes, I've mentioned how difficult that was and the struggle, the inner struggle that I actually had with that decision. And I had it for a very long time, not just before actually making that decision, but even after as well. But I think, honestly, the more time goes by and the more I just come to realize that that truly was the Lord. And sometimes we don't understand that. And it's difficult for us to understand that, because when you come up in certain, when you're being brought up or you're being raised in certain circles, even within the Christian church and within Christian communities, when you're brought up within certain circles, you're brought up to think that, you know what? God is never going to shut down a ministry. God is never going to close doors on something that is advancing his kingdom or things of that nature. And the truth is, that's not necessarily true. As we've mentioned before, there are seasons, right?
Correct.
For different things. And I believe that just like we experience different seasons in life, I believe that God uses certain ministries or ministers or churches or what have you for certain seasons as well. And if that season, if God determines for whatever reason that season has come to a close, then so be it. But I think, honestly, that is probably one of my, off the top of my head, at least one of the most recent ones, is that exactly. It's the fact that even though I struggled, even though I didn't understand that at the time, it was a really big move for me. The other one that I could think of is this business venture that I'm on, right? I think I've mentioned this before on some of my episodes. I've started this business venture. And let me tell you something, I had no money. I have no money, right? This is something very new. I'm literally just starting, so I haven't really seen the fruit of it. So I have no money, and I started it completely without money. But I really felt like the Lord was guiding me to actually take that step of faith. And you know what? It's crazy, because before I started it, there was one moment, my wife and I, it was in the evening already. We were in the kitchen. We were talking. And suddenly, just completely out of the blue, the Lord brought this, because I was dealing, right, with that struggle. Should I take this leap of faith? Should I not take this leap of faith? Was this from you, Lord? Is this not from you? And then I had this thought. And honestly, I believe that it was the Holy Spirit that was bringing it to mind. And he said this. The thought was this. The people of Israel stayed in the wilderness longer than they were intended to because of their lack of faith.
Yeah.
God did not, if we look at the book of Exodus and we look at the Old Testament, God never intended for the Israelites to be in the wilderness for 40 years. So why were they there for 40 years? Their lack of faith. And as a consequence to their disobedience, they were in the wilderness for 40 years.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. One of the things that I struggled with before I go into an example of mine is, what really is an open door? I think sometimes we're very narrow-minded, for lack of a better word, as to the concept of what an open door is, right? Most people will see an open door as, ooh, I got a new job. Ooh, I got a new car. Hey, I got more money. Not really relating that and tying this back to what we're talking about, callings, that an open door opens for his glory and his kingdom. And it doesn't necessarily mean personal gain or personal profit. And I think that's where the misconception between open doors and closed doors comes in, is that sometimes we think, oh, I didn't get that new promotion. God didn't open that door for me. And we'll get into this a little bit later. There was probably a reason for that. And a good example of that for me is about, I don't know, it's almost been 15 years. Oh, wow. Okay. Didn't realize that. Sorry, that just hit me. I left a government job to go work for a company as a contractor. And for those of you that don't understand that leap of faith that I took, you're talking about a secure job for the most unsecure job. Contracting, they can get rid of you the next day. It was a promising opportunity, but I had to take the leap of faith. That's where God was pointing me. I didn't know that at the time. This is retrospective. This is me reflecting back upon that. That one leap of faith, almost 15 years later, was the beginning of where I am today. Was the beginning of me being able, 15-year journey. Wow, if you really think about it. I said this is a 5-year journey. Not really, but God changed my direction almost 15 years ago. And he's been doing it ever since. And had I not taken that leap of faith, I can almost guarantee you I would still be in that position because it was safe. And I think that's the problem. Sometimes God's opening up the doors and it looks scary. And so if you really look at it, and correct me here because it's on the top of my tongue, but I have a little bit of writer's block. When God told Paul that to go to Trios, I believe. And I think that's in 2 Corinthians like 12 through 15 or something like that. And I apologize. We'll put the verses that we're referring to because we're pretty much paraphrasing these. But long story short, God opens up the door for him, but he doesn't walk through it. He ends up going to Macedonia instead. I think that's what happens, right? And Paul is one of his biggest like blind followers, if you want to call it that. But he even saw the open door. He even acknowledges it in the writing that, you know, but he didn't go through it, right? He couldn't see his brother there. And so because of that, he hesitated and he went in a different direction. And I think sometimes that happens to us, right? God opens up that door and we're scared. I was scared when he opened up that opportunity for me. I was like, shoot, you know what I mean? Financial security for non-financial security. Don't get me wrong. The financial gain from that was sufficient, but it wasn't secure. I didn't know what I was going to get paid every week. It was all dependent on per job. And it wasn't by hour. It was by job. And if I didn't have a job, guess what? I didn't have money. And that's scary. But I asked God at that point, I needed help. I didn't know what to do. And I prayed on it. And at that time, I wasn't so deep in my faith like I am today. But I still had faith, right? And I asked God, I said, I don't know what to do. And something just came over me and said, I got to do it. I talked to my wife and I said, I got to do it. And it was the start of many things that happened after that. And yeah, I think we need to stop thinking about open doors as personal gain and open doors to God's will and what God's opening doors for his glory. And he's going to glorify you when you glorify him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Scripture says, right, that when we honor God, he honors us. And here's the thing. God is so good that he's not going to let you fall. So you're talking about the fact that the open doors are not always going to be for personal gain. And you're right. But yet God still promises that he's going to be with you, that he's going to provide for you. He's going to be your provider. He's going to be your protector. He's going to sustain you. So we need to trust that no matter how difficult our finances may become, no matter how difficult life may become, no matter, like, God is seeing us through that. And because of his grace and mercy over our lives, he's going to walk us through. He's going to sustain us. He's going to help us overcome.
Yeah. And I wrote that on here. I said, an open door doesn't mean that you won't have a troubled mind. And I got that from, I didn't get that from scripture. That was just something that came to me when I was reading 2 Corinthians, the story about Paul. And he's, even though Paul eventually realizes that his human nature, and Paul admits that because he, even though this divine open door was open, he admits that he had no peace of mind because he didn't have his brother Titus with him. Internal state was, he was troubled. And sometimes we have that. When God opens a door, doesn't mean it's going to come with, oh my God, here it's everything's so easy.
And it's interesting that you say that, because I have spoken to people who believe that, oh, because I encountered some pushback,
yeah,
then this is not from God. Because I encountered some hardship, because I had an obstacle to overcome, then that means that it's not from God. Because if it is from God, then it's just going to be nothing, smooth waters to sail. And that's not the case. That's not the case. As a matter of fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Going back from our very own personal walk with Christ, Jesus tells us in Scripture that we are not greater than the Master. And he says, if they persecuted me, if they hated me, trust me, they're going to hate you and they're going to persecute you as well. Because you are not greater than I am. You're not greater than me. So just from our very own beginning with our walk with the Lord, our Christian walk, our faith, being a follower of Christ means that, guess what? You're going to have hardship. As a matter of fact, I would even dare say that because you're a follower of Christ, you may even experience more hardship.
Yeah. And I'm going to credit Stephen Furtick again. I tell you, I listen a lot to him. I can really gasp the story. But he once said on one of his podcasts, on one of his YouTubes, no one wants to tackle the guy without the ball. So if we talk about football things, you don't see them going for the guy that doesn't have the ball. And if you have the ball, then everybody wants to stop you from what? Accomplishing your mission. And the mission with the guy who holds the ball is what? To score. If he scores, then there's nothing you can do about it. He scored. He did his job. But he said, when you're holding the ball, when God is really using you and he really wants to open that door for his glory, you're going to get attacked. It's inevitable. You're going to get attacked. The problem is that when we get attacked, we retreat, we fear, instead of leaning further into him. He says, how many times does he say it? Don't fear and don't be dismayed. And we've said this already. We said this on the last podcast, so I'm not going to dig deep into it. But I don't think he would be telling that to anybody if it was supposed to be easy. And one of the stories that I wrote down was in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, when King Jehoshaphat gets the word that there's this massive armies of three different tribes coming after him. And he was terrified, completely outnumbered. He knew there's no way that I can do this. And I think that there's the key. We forget our human, we revert back to our human side and say, oh my God, I can't do this. Oh my God, there's no way. I thought that when I was switching my jobs. I was like, there's no way I can do this. I have a family. And all of a sudden, all these doubts and all this, I can't, and all that. Guess what? God knew 15 years from that point that he changed my life in that way that I would probably be doing this podcast, hopefully changing somebody else's life and speaking into their life.
Absolutely.
With his words. But what did King Jehoshaphat do? Do you remember?
He worshiped.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead, he scrambled. He basically brought the whole town together and they sung to victory.
That's what it is, right? He sung to victory. He worshiped God. See, and the takeaway, there's so many things that we can talk about that, right? There's so many things that we can say about that passage that Scripture gives us. But the one thing that I want to say right off the bat is, when you have hardship, worship.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great example of that story. He even says it, right? When his prayer, he says, we have no power against this huge army and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And if you go to our website, I actually wrote a blog on there that is talking about fixing your eyes. It's actually called Spirituality 2020. So I use my history in eye care, but I use that, and God uses that a lot. Fix your eyes, fix your eyes, fix your eyes.
Just to be clear, it's not the year 2020.
Yeah, it's eyesight 2020. Yeah, the year 2020 didn't really do us any favors in the eye world. But he says it there. Our eyes are on you. And what have I been saying? Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on the light. That's what our podcast is all about. It's the light.
It's fixing your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah. I use the lighthouse example all the time. And you guys are going to hear this a million times because I love the analogy. It keeps me focused and it keeps me... Whenever I start doubting, I think of a lighthouse and I say, okay, the light is always the safe way. The light is always going to guide me in times of darkness, in times of struggle, in times of storms, in times of all of it. And that's exactly what happened. They were completely outnumbered. They should have been annihilated. But who stepped in? God. And they didn't have to fight. They ended up fighting each other and taking each other out.
And that's the key thing. That's the key thing, that when we trust God and we do what he is asking us to do, because God gave them instructions as to what they needed to do.
Yeah.
This wasn't some kook idea that Jehoshaphat came up with.
No.
He was following God's instructions.
Yeah.
And many times we're not even going to have to fight. We're just going to be able to sit back and watch the Lord do what he does best.
Doesn't he say it? It's not your battle.
Exactly.
It's mine.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Even though it's not our battle, it's his. Sometimes we do have to fight. And what do I mean by that? When we actually look at David's life, we see that there were certain instances where David had to go out to war, right? He was being attacked by an enemy. And he would consult God, he would talk to God and pray to God and be like, do I go out to war and face them? And God would say, go because the victory is yours. Go because the victory is yours. Now, here's the thing. God had already promised the victory. So David faced the enemy with complete certainty that the enemy was going to be defeated. But he still had to go out and do battle. He still had to go out to the battlefield, and he still had to face the enemy, and he had to fight.
But he also thought, he also knew he had the power, not the power of God, but he had God with him, and that he was going to equip him with the things that he needed to be victorious.
Absolutely. And see, that's the key part right there. Because when we are following God's commands, when we are moving in obedience to God's word, in obedience to what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do, and we're walking through the doors that the Holy Spirit is guiding us to walk through, we're gonna face some opposition. We're gonna face some obstacles. There's gonna be a fight. Things are not always gonna be smooth sailing. However, okay, that doesn't mean, or I should say, let me rephrase that. However, we can be sure and we can be certain that God is with us. And that he is going to help us, that he's going to sustain us, as we've been talking all along. He's going to fight that battle for you. So the victory is going to be yours.
God says it very clear. I hold the keys, and whatever I open, no one can close. And whatever I close, no one can open. If you just realize that God has the keys to the doors that you're supposed to walk through, then that's when it becomes easy, right? We always ask, why aren't the open doors easy? They're not going to be, because he's going to prepare you first. And we already said that. We covered that in the character episode, right? He's got to prepare your character in order for him to open those doors. How is he going to open the door for something you're not prepared for?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You wouldn't send your kids out to go do something if you hadn't prepared them on how to do it. I'm not sticking my 7-year-old to drive behind a car. There's a reason why we do things at certain times in our lives. God's going to do the same thing for you. And I think that it was one of my hardest struggles. I want to be honest. It's easy to say, guys. I understand that. I used to say, why and why? You turn the whys to, there's a reason for this. So not why. Don't ask why it's happening. Ask what lesson am I learning? What is he preparing me for? When I started doing that, oh my God, did my life change. So the things that I thought used to irritate me and bug the heck out of me, I was like, okay, whatever. Or I was like, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this? And I've heard many people say it. many pastors say it, be careful what you ask for. You're asking, God, please make me more patient. And then you drive off and he puts you in 5 o'clock traffic where you're going 5 miles an hour and you're losing your mind.
45 minutes late.
Correct. Yeah. You're losing your mind and you're like, what's the first thing? You're already flustered and all that. You told him to give you patience. He's putting you in a situation that's going to teach you how to be patient, or where you have to learn to be patient.
Where you have the choice, where you have the choice to be patient or not.
Correct.
And that's a big one. It's like, I've heard people say this. It's funny you bring this up because people say, don't ask God for patience because then you're going to have struggles. Then you're going to have obstacles. Then you're going to have problems. And scripture does say that struggles and hardship produces patience. Yes, it does. But to not ask God for patience is one of the craziest things that I've ever heard. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there have been times where I have not asked God for patience and the hardships and struggles still come. Not praying for patience doesn't mean a life free of problems. Okay, let me just throw that out there. Life is going to have struggles. Life is going to have hardship. Jesus himself says, in this world, you will have struggles, but be of good cheer. He says, for I have overcome the world. I don't want anybody who's listening to this podcast at some point to think that, oh, if I stop praying for patience, then my life is going to be easy. No, you're still going to have the hardships. But when you ask God for patience, then yes, he's going to actually put you in situations where you're going to learn the patience. That is true. All right. But at the same time, he's going to empower you through the Holy Spirit to actually be able to grow in your patience.
Yeah. And you're completely right. And just so I just want to, for those that are listening, if you were wondering where I got the God opens doors and nobody can shut them and what he closes and all that, that's in Revelations chapter 3. You will want to go back in there and take a look at it. I know because sometimes I'm like, when I listen to stuff, I'm like, tell me where I can go find it. And like, again, I have a list of scriptures that we're paraphrasing and throwing them like a story, and I'll put them at the bottom of our information when you go to our podcast, but they'll be in the notes. But like you said, going back to what we were talking about, God wants you to open your eyes to the right path, and he wants the opportunities he has for you to be clear, but you gotta be right in your mind, right? You can't be prideful. Pride will close a door faster than anything else. And sometimes we are. We think that we said this before. We think that our way is better than his. And that's pride. That's just arrogance and pride. And if you want to close your door, go ahead and do that.
I'll go one further and I'll actually say that when we are proud, we can't even listen to God's voice.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to discern what he's wanting to do or where he's trying to guide us, because the Bible says that he draws near to the humble, but he sees the proud from afar. So it's when we are proud, we are keeping God at arm's length, and we are not allowing him to draw near us. If God is not near me, then how can I hear him guide me?
Yep. And I'm glad you brought that, because if you fulfill your mind with worry and thoughts, and one of the biggest arrogant things that we do and don't realize it, is we try to open doors that are meant for us to open. And that happened to me. And like I said, God changed my trajectory 15 years ago. And I would say about 4 years ago, I went back to school to get my master's degree. And in the process, while I was going to school, I got impatient. Speaking of patience, right? So I'm going through the school. I don't got my degree yet. I'm still learning. And so I decide I'm going to start applying for these positions. I kid you not, I made it to the final cut of 3 different positions. All of them were different in the same realm, right? It's like Texas, Dallas, Houston, El Paso, totally different. But the point of that is that I was trying to open doors that weren't meant for me. And I didn't realize that at the time. And I think that's the problem, where we get so caught up in what, no, it's supposed to happen now. And I was praying. I was like, God, I kid you not, I literally have a prayer in one of my books, in one of my journals, because I like to journal whenever a thought comes in when I'm listening to or reading the Bible. Like, I'll write down little messages that come to me. But, and I literally wrote this in my prayers, and I did it for a while. And I kept reminding myself about open doors and closed doors. I said, God, open the doors that are meant for me and close the doors that are not. And the knowledge to understand which ones they are, right? Which doors are meant to be for me and which are not. Because sometimes we can see an open door, look through it, and it looks nice on the other side, and then it shuts on you, and you're like, see, there it goes again. I used to hear this from my brother. He's like, see, it always happens, right? When things start going good, and then boom, there's a door, right? Somebody slams it right in your face. But if those doors would have opened, I would not be in the position that I am today. And where I am today is a blessing 100 times over, and probably in a better situation than I would have been had I gotten any one of those other positions. I didn't understand it at the time. Was I bitter? Yeah. Yeah. No one likes to make it to the final cut and then be like, sorry, someone's better than you. I'm like, I had to realize that they weren't better than me. It's just God couldn't use me there.
Or God had something else for you.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. I want to unpack that a little bit, because when we have a willing heart,
yeah,
God can use us wherever we are.
Yeah.
Okay. But the reason why God closes doors is because he has something different. Okay. Whether that different in human eyes, okay, to man's perspective, whether that different may be better or not, that depends. Okay. But it's going to be something different, and it is going to be something better, because when we follow God's guidance, when we obey God, that's always going to bless our lives.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the next topic, the blessings of a closed door. Sounds like an oxymoron, right? Like, how can a closed door be a blessing? I just said it. In my experience, he closed those 3 job opportunities because he knew that he was preparing me, because I was still going to school. In other words, God says, I haven't given you all the knowledge that you're going to need for when I put you in the situation that you need to be, so that I can use you in the way that I know I'm going to use you. Okay. And I'll go back to Revelations, and this is Revelations 3, and it's 7-8. Jesus is speaking to the church of Philadelphia, and he tells them clear as day, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. The thing there is that Jesus acknowledges that the church has little strength, yet they have to keep his word, right? Because we have human power, but God has the ultimate power.
He has unlimited power.
Correct. And when we think that our power is going to do it, that's when the door shuts. Because you're not prepared yet. And that's exactly what he did to me. I tried to force those jobs, and he said, you're not even done. I haven't even given you all the knowledge that you need first. And right? And when he shut those doors, there was no one that was going to go back and open those for me.
And I want to touch on something that you mentioned, because we go through seasons of preparation. You talked a little bit about this a moment ago. We go through seasons of preparation, but just because God is preparing us for something else doesn't mean that when that something else comes, that we're not going to need to rely on God. We're still going to need to rely on God, because even though he prepares us, he's preparing us so that we could handle whatever it is that he's bringing into our life. Okay. However, we still need to rely on him.
Yep.
And because it's still going to be something bigger than us, greater than what we can handle in our own strength. So we're going to need to rely on him.
Yeah. David and Goliath, everybody uses that analogy, right? He wasn't going to be able to take care of that giant by him if it was just him. And so the other thing is that God knows what your talents are. He gave you those gifts. He made you in his image. He knows what he meant you to use. But those talents need to be placed correctly, right? So in our human ability, there's nothing that we can do with our talents if God doesn't place us in the opportunities that are meant in the path that he has for us. As frustrating as it is to not have that control, and we go back to what we talked about last episode, right? Not having control and us wanting to control it all. It all builds on itself. If we try to control it, doors are closed. When we give it to God and let him open the doors that he has for us, it's easy. So I'll go back to the question I said, why are open doors not as easy? And we know closed doors aren't, but they're both easy if you learn to listen to God's guidance, because he's gonna guide you in the path that you need to be.
And trust God.
Yeah.
And trust God, because you can listen to his guidance and still rebel against it. Look at Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah's a perfect example of this. God told him what to do, and Jonah was like, nope, deuces, I'm out. And he ran literally in the opposite direction. You can hear God's voice. You can hear his direction. You can hear his guidance. That does not necessarily mean that you are willing to do what he's telling you to do. So again, we go back to what I mentioned at the beginning, the posture of your heart. What is the posture of your heart? Where does that, you know, how does God see you? I hear too many people say, and it's so ironic because the people that I always hear say this are people who do not know scripture. And I'm not saying that I'm a master at it. There's a lot that I have to learn. There's a lot that I'm still learning. But there's people who say, oh, God knows my heart. God mm-hmm. knows my heart. And ironically enough, this is always coming from people who say that to justify something that they're doing that is not according to scripture or to God's will. And honestly, we need to be careful with that, because the Bible says that man's heart is deceitful, that it is twisted and sick. And we need to be careful and not use these little Christian quote unquote cliche to try and justify our actions, because that's not going to fly before the Lord.
No, absolutely not. And when the battle is too big, we have to learn how to give the weight. Look, God's not intending for us to carry 1,000 pounds on our shoulders. He's gonna have you carry 1,000 pounds, but you're not gonna feel it. Why? Because he's carrying the majority of the load.
Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
That passage has always caught my attention, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't mean that you're not gonna carry a burden. It doesn't mean that you're not gonna have a yoke. It just means that because he's carrying the burden, it's gonna feel light to you. It's a heavy burden, right? But the part that we're carrying is going to be quote unquote light, right? Because he's carrying the heavy load. And we need to keep that in mind. That is so key. That's why right before Jesus says that, he says, come to me, all those who are tired and heavy burdened or heavy laden, depending on the version that you're actually reading. In other words, we can find rest in him. And that is key. That is so important and so vital.
Yeah, like you said before, faith is a behavior. We have to learn, right? Behaviors are learned. So we have to learn to just have faith that God's going to step in when God thinks that we're prepared for it. You know what I mean? And just remind yourself, this open doors, closed doors thing, I'm so happy that we're talking about it, because it's done wonders for me. Just talking. Faith is a behavior, right? And we can't forget that. And like I said, I was talking about, this has been such a blessing for me, because besides the lighthouse example that I give, that I use a lot, the other thing that I remember a lot, and I have several notes on it, is open doors and closed doors. And remembering that they're both blessings. And if you can keep that in mind, your life doesn't seem as difficult as it was before. You want to make open doors easy, you need to be able to accept the closed doors.
I think one of the reasons why so many times it's difficult to accept the closed doors is because, and I'm not saying that this happens in 100% of the cases, but I think it is in a large number of cases, the doors that God is closing are doors that we went open.
Correct.
Because of whatever reason, whether it be personal gain, whether it be financial gain, whether it be fill in the blank, you name it. But for one reason or another, that's a door that we really want, that we really desire, that we really want. Man, my life would be great if this could happen. And when we see that opportunity, because the enemy is going to tempt us with those doors, with those opportunities, to try and distract us from what God is trying to accomplish through us or through the season that he has us in. And a lot of times we see that and we're like, oh man, this has to be from the Lord because that's what I've been praying for.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I've been praying for. Thank you, God, because you're opening the door. And nope, that's not it. That's not it. And when that door closes, like your brother used to say, oh, there it goes, closing in my face. So when that door closes, we get frustrated. We get angry. We get bitter. We get resentful towards God.
Yep. And then we turn away, which is what the enemy wants.
Exactly. And when we allow that to happen, then the enemy has accomplished his purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. So we go back to the football analogy. What happens to star receivers and star running backs when the defense is so difficult, right? And they can't hit their numbers. They get so flustered. They get to the sidelines, and let's be honest, they throw tantrums, right? They're pissed off. They're pushing everybody away and everything else. It's not any different in real life, right? When those doors close, you get flustered, you get angry, you throw a tantrum. And what I mean by throwing a tantrum is, instead of leaning more towards God and saying, okay, God, there's a purpose for the closed door. Show me what I needed to learn from that experience. Instead, we're like, you're not there. You abandoned me.
You're not helping me.
You're not helping me. And then what happens? You go further away, right? The more you try running backs and all that, whatever, running backs, quarterbacks, receivers, when they get shut down by the defense, what do? They give up. They stop. Their effort goes away. But when they're running for 200 yards, right, then, man, they have the biggest smiles of their lives. It's the same thing. When everything is going great, right? Oh, bless the Lord. He is wonderful and glorious. But when things aren't, because he's preparing us for something greater, or I wouldn't say greater because it's not always greater, right? But when he's preparing us for what to do, the works that he wants us to do for his glory, then we think it's that he's not with us, and he's always with us. But that's the whole thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 7, right? Chapter 5, verse 7, it simply states it. For we live by faith and not by sight. And we touched up on that on our first episode. So the hinges of doors are not opening and closing, are always dependent on the obedience.
I think so. I think so. Obedience is the key factor.
Yeah. The doors that will be open tomorrow are swung on the hinges of today's obedience. And I don't want to take credit for that. That actually came from Stephen Furtick as well.
Yeah, it's crazy because obedience plays such a huge factor in walking the narrow path.
Yeah, exactly.
It plays such a huge part in our everyday walk with the Lord.
Yeah. It's motion over emotion. You got to move forward. You got to, it's not just feeling it. It's doing it. It's a behavior. It's not a feeling.
It's an action. It's an action. James even tells us that faith without action is dead. How can you see if somebody is truly walking in faith? Because you see their actions. You see how they live. You see what they do.
Bishop T.D. Jakes, very famous pastor, he once said, you can feel the fear and do it anyway. You know what I mean? The fear shouldn't stop you. Like I said the last time, if you're fearing and you feel like you're anxiety and everything else, is think about it. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I getting this? And I want to give you a perfect example. I'm going to be super vulnerable right now. I went to bowl on Thursday with my wife. We bowled in the league. And there was this one bowler, young dude, good looking. Yeah. He had the dream boat that everybody talks about. And I started noticing certain behaviors. And you can tell that he was trying. We're guys. We know what guys do to try to get a woman's attention. And I noticed that he was trying to do that with my wife. That test was incredible. Because I think at another time in my life, I would have lost it. I would have lost my stuff. My anger would have gone through the roof. I would have taken it out on people that didn't need to be taken out on. I would have probably caused a rift in my marriage over something that I had, that was the test. I can't control what he does. I can control how I react, though. And I can control how it affects me and my wife. So on the way home, I told her about it. And she was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. She was like, he could have tried everything he did, but I didn't notice anything. And do I believe her? Absolutely. 100%. But we had the conversation instead of having the fight. And then I told her, I said, you know what? Today was the enemy testing me. And I told her, going back to having the football, this podcast, I think, is reaching. And I think he wanted to throw me off my game. Because I haven't been bothered like that. Literally, to the point where it got me a little bit insecure. I was like, what? You know what I mean? And then I was like, you know what I did immediately? I turned on my earphones and I put on some of the Christian songs and gospel songs that I can just will center me in about 2 seconds. And so every time I went up to Bo, I had those songs on and it brought me back. Every single time I was like, my anxiety went down. The heat that you feel from, you're like, boy, why are you trying to hit on my wife when I'm right here? But I asked God, okay, why is this happening? Why am I feeling this way? What is it that you want me to learn? And he wanted me to learn not to let other people affect or take you off your path. Because on the way home, I realized that I said, you know what? He's attacking me even harder because this hasn't happened in a while. And it got to me. I was like, why is he attacking me so hard? Why is he coming? Why am I feeling all this stuff that I haven't felt in forever? I must be doing something for the glory of God. And when you're on that path and you're enlightening God's mission, they're going to try even harder.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know what I'm taking away from what you're telling me, though, is the fact that your wife didn't even notice what was going on.
Yeah.
Like, you were flustered. You had to center yourself and thank God that you did, because there are going to be things in life that will get us flustered. And our ability to center ourselves and refocus back on God and what he wants and his purpose and his will, that's always going to be the place or the way that we should react. But here's what I want to get at. The fact that you got flustered, you were noticing these things, your blood started to boil, your wife didn't even pick up on what was going on.
No.
If you would have acted out in the flesh and you would have started something with that guy, that would have caused issues between you and your wife for something that she wasn't even aware of.
No, exactly. And he would have got what he wanted. How can I be preaching messages from God and not? What did we say? You said it perfectly, right? You can't leave a godly legacy if you don't live a godly life. And I had to have all the faith in the world that God, there was a purpose for that. You know what I mean? And that God was going to he was going to help me through it. He was going to center me, and that the Holy Spirit was going to talk to me and say, give me the clarity that I needed to have. Because I could have gone 100 different ways. And it usually does, right? Because we're human. But
yeah. And we're human, and let's face it, a lot of times we are insecure.
But where did I lean? I leaned towards God. What did I tell you? The first thing I did, I put the gospel songs. I started worship. I wasn't singing out loud to everybody, but in my head, I was worshiping. I was singing with the songs in my head. And when I wasn't in my head, actually, I was singing out loud a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably louder than I thought. But
few things, let me tell you something. When you get sidetracked or when you get flustered or something throws you off your game, few things in life will be able to recenter you like worship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like worship has the power of just, like you said, just recentering. That's the key word. Worship has the power of refocusing. Because here's the thing. We cannot have worship, like true worship that actually honors God, because worshiping and singing a worship song are two different things.
Yeah.
So you can't have a spirit of worship, a heart of worship, when you're flustered.
Correct.
When you're angry.
Correct.
When you're frustrated. When you're depressed. Okay? You can't worship when you posture your heart before the Lord and you truly have a spirit of worship that is flowing from absolute gratitude and awe of God towards Him, then you know what? All those other things, they flee. They flee. Those things cannot rule or have dominion in your life when we worship God, truly worship God. There's a reason why God tells us in His word that He is spirit and He what? He says that He wants those who worship in spirit and in truth. He seeks those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's talking about a posture of our heart, and it's talking about the fact that when we are true worshipers, then nothing else is going to affect us. Or no, let me rephrase that. Not that it's going to affect us, because things in life do affect us, but it's going to help us to recenter and it's going to help us to refocus on God.
Yep, absolutely. So I want to bring it to this. Closed doors are sometimes God's way of protecting you. They're protection. So think about those as the protection. That closed doors are security system. They're there to protect you because you couldn't handle what's on the other side.
Absolutely.
Right? And be on the lookout. Like I said, the enemy is going to try harder when you're on the right path. And so he's going to put counterfeit doors. Counterfeit doors basically are going to lead to the discouragement, the disappointment, dysfunction. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because you said that the enemy's going to try harder, and he absolutely is. I've heard so many preachers say that when you're not facing spiritual battle, when you're not facing spiritual attack, when the enemy basically isn't worried about you, then you need to watch yourself, because maybe spiritually you're not really as in touch with the Holy Spirit as you should be.
Correct.
Your walk with the Lord may not be as strong as you truly think it is, or you may not be following in God's will the way you believe you are. And that's the reason why a lot of times things do, quote unquote, go smooth, because of the fact that we're not walking in His will.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I want to finish with this. I have gathered stuff throughout these 5 years of things that have spoken to me, and that I've held to myself, but I sent them to you earlier in the week. And so these are 4 statements for when you have to be in the fight. And know that God's in that fight with you, that you don't have to do it on your own. David and Goliath. David went in there, but he knew God was with him, right? Jehoshaphat, he did what God told him. He knew God was with him. Once we know that God is with us, then everything else falls into play. But I'm going to credit the people that I took these from, because they deserve the credit. So the antidote to weakness, okay, it's God's got the hard part. And that was said by Pastor Stephen Furtick. That was so powerful to me, right? Because if you just remember, what did I just say? God's with you, right? He carries the heavy load. If you just remember that He has the hard part, all you got to do is follow the steps, right? Remind, they aren't supposed to have the strength for it. Right? We're human. It's a human ability and it's limiting. The only time that we can do those things is by having faith in God, and that God's going to give us that power to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the second one was an anecdote to setbacks, right? And I just, again, credit goes to Stephen Furtick. His messages are pretty powerful and I've taken a lot from him. But God can use this too. And so know that when you're facing a closed door or a sudden failure or an unexpected event, like I did on Thursday, you just get blindsided and you're like, whoa, where did this come from? And you start feeling yourself get out of control. Okay. Then say, okay, God doesn't waste anything. And even when the enemy is trying to derail you, He can use that experience to better you. What did I learn from Thursday? What did He teach me? Don't let other people affect the actions of other people affect the relationship that you have. And don't let it affect you. Because if it was for me, you would see the blessing, right? And so I had to learn restraint. So what did He teach me that day? Restraint.
Self-control.
Self-control. Security. Trust. All of those in a matter of minutes. Not minutes, but really hours. But either way, right? Something that I hadn't had to practice in a while in that type of situation. And the third one is the antidote to overwhelm, right? I am fighting for from victory, not for the victory.
You know, so what?
That, I'll let you touch that one because I know it spoke to you.
That one, I'm going to be honest with you. The last two, the first two are good, without a doubt. But the last two, when you sent them to me and I was reading them, man, that really spoke to me. I am fighting from a position of victory, not for victory. When you're going through the thick of it, it is so difficult to keep in mind that the victory is already yours.
Correct.
And look, the outcome, I want to specify this, the outcome may not always look like what you envisioned.
It's probably never going to be the way you envisioned. It's probably never,
exactly. And in many cases, I can even add this, in many cases, the outcome may even be better or greater than what you had envisioned.
Yeah. If I go back to my career change.
Absolutely.
You would have told me 10 years ago that I was going to be doing marketing. I would have told you you were smoking something.
You didn't say crack,
yeah,
weed,
yeah, whatever. You're high.
Anything that's not tobacco.
Yeah, you're high on something and it ain't God's word. That's all I know. But go for it, man. You had a lot to say about this.
Yeah, let me tell you something. This really brought it home for me. It spoke to me in such a powerful way because a lot of times we forget that the victory, that the battle belongs to God and not to us. And when we're going through anxiety, frustration, when it seems like all we ever face is opposition, when it seems like we can't catch a break, right? When it seems like I'm trying to just provide for my family and I'm struggling to even get a job that I know I'm qualified for, but they won't even give me the time of day to at least interview me. They just dismiss me, and it happens time and time again. Let me tell you something. It's easy to lose focus.
Oh, yeah.
But when you keep in mind, first of all, that we don't depend on a job to provide for us, while a job is a tool that God uses to provide, the provision does not come from your employer. The provision does not come from the U.S. government. The provision does not come from your rich relative. The provision comes from God.
Amen.
And you know what? That was something that I had to really repent from, because I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to say this. And I'm going to be, you had a moment of vulnerability earlier. This is my moment right now. My wife and I love my wife. We've been married for, this coming August is going to be 12 years.
Amen.
Praise God, by God's grace and mercy. But my relationship with her family has not always been the best. It's been rocky. And right now that we're struggling financially, and of course we have small children. My daughter, she just turned 3. My son is 1.5 years. My son isn't potty trained, so he's still in diapers. And sometimes, to be honest with you, we didn't have money for diapers because diapers are expensive, man. Whoever came up with the idea of disposable diapers is banking it, man. Seriously. But let me say this. My wife's grandmother started buying us diapers. And at first I was like, all right, great. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. But then like by the second or third box, my pride kicked in.
There's that word.
My pride kicked in. Why is she doing this? I can buy my own diapers. He's my son. I can buy my son the diapers.
God sending you the blessing and you're over there looking.
Exactly. And see, that's the thing. That was my pride. And God had to deal with my heart and he had to help me understand. It doesn't matter who I use to provide. You need to be grateful that the provision is there. You need to be grateful that the provision is there, because let me tell you something. That was my ego. That was my pride. And because we haven't always seen eye to eye, I was like, who are they? Who are they? And God was saying, I'm using them. And honestly, I know, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that God is using them specifically to deal with me and my pride.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
To deal with me and my pride. Because God could use anyone.
Oh, yeah.
And he could put it in anybody's heart. He could put it in anybody's heart to come and give me a blessing. And I've experienced that through this season. I have experienced that, and I to God all the honor and glory, because he has blown my mind and provided things that I never expected and in ways that I never imagined. But with this specifically, I know that he's using them to deal with me. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm just like, you know what, Lord, praise God, because that's $50 that I don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
That's $50 that I don't have to worry about. That's $50 that I can use towards groceries. That's $50 that I can use towards gas. That's $50 that I can use towards paying one of the bills for the house. That's $50 that I could use for anything else, because I don't have to use it on diapers, because by God's grace and mercy, he is providing through these people.
Yep. And I 100% feel that. And my other question.
Our pride sometimes doesn't allow us to see that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench to you.
Do it.
All right. What if the reason that friction off and on isn't due to that pride? Because I sometimes think that pride keeps us from understanding or really evaluating the situation, even post facto, right? Because that could have been creeping in a long time ago. You just didn't see it. And it's if the enemy can put something in you, remember, God's works aren't fast. They're not overnight. He's like a slow cooker. He's going to let you simmer. But guess what? So is the enemy. And if he finds that, he's going to let it simmer and let it grow and let it grow and let it grow, right? But God knew that the hardest way for you to take it was going to be through the hardest direction that it was going to come from.
Yeah.
He goes, he hit you, but I'm going to hit you harder, because that's the only way for me to wake you up.
And one thing that I was actually talking to, I can't remember if it was just this morning or maybe yesterday, and I was telling my wife, you know what? If you look at our situation right now, financially, there's a lot of things that we're not at liberty to do, right? Before I quit my job, we had the means to be able to go out to eat, to have a date night, to take certain luxuries that right now we don't have. I know that one day we will be able to do that again. All right. But right now is not the time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. God has been dealing with me in such a powerful way in the area of gratitude. Be grateful for what you have, because even though you can't go out to eat at a restaurant Sunday after church, you still have food on the table.
Amen.
You still have a roof over your head. You still have, right? Your children are clothed. Your son has diapers. And in everything that we've needed, one way or another, God has come through. And we've been able to pay our bills. Some of them maybe a day or two late, whatever. Okay, fine. But you know what?
They're paid.
They're all cut up. They're paid. Like God has just really shown up in such a huge way. And he's been dealing with me. Be grateful for what you have.
So this is going to go to the fourth point. And it goes to both of us, because I think both of us have experienced this recently. The antidote to control. My job is the obedience. It's God's job. God's job is the outcome. So I'll say that again. My job is the obedience. God's job is the outcome. And that's a little bit adopted from the late Dr. Charles Stanley's famous model of obey God and leave all the consequences to him. However, I adapted it in a different way and just put, my job is the obedience, but God's job is the outcome. And when you realize, again, what did we say earlier? You've already got the victory. Let them get you to the victory. That's it.
We need to fight from a position of victory. Exactly.
So when anxiety is taking over because you can't see the finish line and the internal, just remember, tell yourself, I just have to obey. And that's what you did. You started obeying God to say, hey, I'm sending you the blessings. Now take it and stop being so hard-headed. And you're like, oh, what did you just say? I said, okay, finally, I said, okay, God. So when we finally say, okay, God, then our vision opens up like tremendously.
And our attitude and mindset starts to be reshaped by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and it goes back to faith and behavior. You don't need the entire blueprint. You don't need all the plans. You just need to take the next faithful step and leave the results in God's hands.
And you know what? That one spoke to me a lot as well. I mentioned earlier, we talked a little bit about this business venture that I'm starting. Mm-hmm. And I started it completely broke. But the people that I'm working with are God-fearing people. And it's crazy because the last thing, if you would have asked me a year ago, if you would have asked me 6 months ago, are you going to start a business? I would have been like, dude, I can't even get a job. I can't even get a job. I don't have the means to start a business. But yet, here I am. And even though I've already started, I've been very apprehensive when it comes to making certain decisions within the business. But that spoke to me. Because if I've already started this, then I need to be all in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it spoke to me because it reminded me that all God is asking for me to do is the work. Just do the work.
Just listen.
Stop worrying about the consequences. Stop worrying about the outcome. Stop worrying about how things are going to look down the road, because that is something that is out of your control, but not out of, it's out of my control, but it's not out of His control.
Correct.
And that's something that I need to trust Him with. Let me tell you something, Freddie. This, even though we're recording this and we're hoping and praying that this is a blessing for other people, this episode has actually opened my eyes to certain things in my life that I need to redirect and refocus to the Lord.
Amen. We said it. We help others. It's great, but this is for us too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We're learning, and sometimes we can see things differently when we go back and visit them. And that's the whole purpose of this. And I'll finish with this because I think we've gone a little long on this episode, guys, but I think it was great conversation. I think it was very insightful.
It's going to help and bless a lot of people.
I think so too. I think the time will be worth it.
Absolutely.
So I'll leave you guys with this. Miracles often follow obedience. All you have to do is make room for the breakthrough. And last, faith obeys without full clarity.
Absolutely.
You're never going to see the final road. You're never going to see the ending. You just got to trust that God has that ending for you and that it's coming and that He has you along the path. So we'll leave you guys with that. I want to thank you all for listening. Did you have any final thoughts?
No, honestly, I think that we've said everything that needed to be said. I just really hope and pray that the people listening to this message will be edified and built up in their faith and their relationship with God through what we're doing, and to God all the honor and glory.
Amen. And for all of those that have subscribed and are following us and liking our clips, our videos, we're trying to put clips of these episodes now. Even if 15 seconds of a snip helps somebody, then fantastic. They don't got to listen to the entire hour. But we're eternally grateful, and we're grateful to the Lord for all of you that have been supporting us. Yeah, I want to give a huge thank you to the Worship Center, which is the church that we go to.
Because the Pastor Ralph?
Yes, absolutely. I think that a lot of our church family have been very supportive.
Absolutely.
And I am eternally grateful, and I hope that it just continues to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I do too. And thank you so much for everybody. Thank you for the support, Worship Center. Honestly, you guys have shown not just support, but because of your support, I see how much you truly care for us and value us and love us. And man, I couldn't be more grateful to the Lord for that.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that is it for this episode. And we'll see you guys. I'll throw out a hint on our social media pages and on our, I usually try to write a blog article on our upcoming stuff. I now post it on social media and on our website. But if you go to our website, you can find all our episodes. You can find us. You can find some of those blog reflections. And if you go onto our website, you'll see a subscribe button, and that will notify you when we drop a new episode. And it'll also send you any blogs that we write. And maybe you guys can take a look at those. They're not very long, maybe 3-4 minute reads, but hopefully they're very insightful. Again, thanks everybody, and we'll see you next time.